Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
When I think about the analysis of Klay Thompson's injury from last night's Game 2, I'm reminded of a story that I read once about Howard Cosell in Monday Night Football. And it was back in the day, and Howard was broadcasting a game, and there was a player, and I think he played for the Redskins, and he got injured, and Cosell said, "Well, we know one thing, that young man will be back on this field before you know it." And Chet Forty, who's the producer of Monday Night Football, said right in his ear, he said, "What if he never comes back, Howard? You don't know." And that's the truth with Klay Thompson. We don't know yet. And we in the media do this a lot, too. We'll say, man, if he can go on one leg, he would play. Yeah, well, we don't know. So let's not overreact yet. Let's find out with the MRI exactly where Klay Thompson is going to be. It's all likelihood by Wednesday night he'll be fine. And limping off the court and going off with 7.5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter is just one of those things that happens with an injury. Maybe he's out for the rest of the postseason. Maybe he's out for two games. Maybe he's out for just one game and he's fine for game four. We don't know yet. Steve Kerr said it best. He said, "Klay said he'll be fine, but Klay can be half dead and he'll say he's fine. We'll see. He pulled his hamstring. We think it's minor. I don't know what that means going forward." That's the right way to look at it, right? Klay is going to say he's going to play. That doesn't mean anything. He doesn't really have the call here. The analysis is going to be made by the trainers, the doctors, everybody else, and the coaching staff. And if Thompson really has a hamstring that can be exploited by Toronto, he ain't going out on that court. He is not going to be out there. Now, listen, sometimes we're right on the money when we go that far with an athlete with injury. Tiger Woods won a U.S. Open on a broken leg. Michael Jordan played game six with the flu. Like we've seen a number of athletes time and time again, right, play with injury. Phillip Rivers was playing with a bad foot. I mean, we've seen it, players give it all out with injuries. But let's not automatically assume that if Klay can breathe, he's going to play in game three. We just don't know. And therefore, we sit in a 1-1 series tie. And yet, one of the biggest question marks is still unanswered. SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I warned you over the weekend. I said, going into the weekend, I warned you of the overreaction for Game 1. I said, watch Steve Kerr. Watch the way he analyzes what happened in Game 1 and the adjustments that he's going to make. Wow, Golden State's defense was great. Great, especially on the road. Listen, home court in the NBA is no joke. That crowd is on top of you as they are, can really dictate a game in a series. It is really hard. You hear guys talk about it all the time in the playoffs, how this building is really loud. This building is really hard to win in. It's a real factor. It's very important. And Golden State's defense in shutting down Toronto on at home, for crying out loud, was a remarkable defensive performance. And a lot of this is on the shoulders of Steve Kerr, who realized, okay, you know what? We took our blows in game one and we will regroup. We will figure this out, because this is not aggravated score, right? I mean, this is not a cumulative score deficit. We can lose game one by 100 or we lose game one by 2. It doesn't matter. But when we lose, we're going to find out why and make the proper adjustments. And they did. Defensively, they were outstanding. So again, we've got a lot of unanswered questions going into game three in terms of Klay Thompson's health. It may be nothing. It may be everything. Who knows? We'll find out. But this is now an interesting series. It's not a definite series. Golden State may have seized some momentum, may have seized home court now since they won on the road. But we know Oracle has not been the same place for Golden State this season as it has been in the past. When they won 73 games, it was an unbelievable rock-solid victory at home. They would win at home all the time. That is gone a little bit. You can beat them at Oracle, right? The Clippers did it twice. This is a place where Milwaukee did it during the regular season. Boston did it during the regular season by a lot. Lakers did it by a lot. You can beat them at home. Now, Toronto is capable of doing this. Nick Nurse has made adjustments in this postseason against Philadelphia and Milwaukee. He might be able to do the same thing. But Klay Thompson going, I'm out. I got to get out of here. And limping off to the locker room. We'll see what he is on Wednesday night. We'll see where Durant is this series. He's been nowhere since game five of the semifinals. I mean, it should say game six because he got hurt in game five. Game six of the semifinals, he has not made his presence in a month. We'll see where this is. There's a lot of interesting questions still has to come about. But I said this earlier. I think Toronto should not be dismissed in terms of asking what went wrong with the Raptors just because they're playing Golden State. The reasoning for going, you know, on an 18-0 run, that Golden State went on an 18-0 run, have to be addressed and have to be answered. It can't just be they're playing the, you know, three-time NBA champions and back-to-back NBA champions. It can't just be that simple. They were at home. They're a very good team that won game one to go on a, to allow your opponent to go on an 18-0 run to open up the second half, to erase a big lead, to forget your shot. That has to be answered. And it should be discussed. And it should be in a way that gives the Raptors respect. The Raptors are not this big, huge underdog, and we're just so glad they're here. You want that? Go to the NCAA tournament where, you know, a George Mason can get to the Final Four. Where it's like, well, we're not going to criticize them because, my God, it's just such a great story that they're here. That's not this team. This team was a 2-seed in the Eastern Conference, for crying out loud. This is a team that was supposed to make this somewhat of a series. So let's not overlook the fact that there were real problems with the way Toronto played. You can credit Golden State all you want, but at home, to let an opponent go on an 18-0 run at home with that crowd just begging you to do something and you can't answer? Don't overlook that. Don't overlook that just because they're playing Golden State. I think that if they were playing the Rockets or Denver or Portland or anybody else that had gotten into the finals with an upset over Golden State during the playoff run, if one of those teams was in the finals, you would hear a lot more about what went wrong with the Raptors. Why did this happen? Why didn't Nick Nurse do this? Why didn't Nick Nurse do that? Why did this player do this? Why? You would hear more about that. Sometimes playing Golden State allows you to escape some criticism because, my God, they're a loaded NBA basketball team that has been to five straight finals and they're looking for their fourth title. Fourth in 5 years. And sometimes we sort of overlook the fact that sometimes you've got to answer for what you can control. And not all of the shots that Toronto missed were because the defense for Golden State was so outstanding that nobody was able to score. So let's not overlook that. But overall, this is going to be, I think this is a buckle up, have fun series. I really do. I like it. I like that we have some uncertainty in Golden State's roster now with some injuries. Possible return of Kevin Durant, possible out for a while with Klay Thompson. Who knows? We'll get more information as there's an MRI. We'll get more information as the next few days go on. That's kind of the bonus of having a NBA Finals that lasts 2.5 weeks. Is that there's so much space between games, we have nothing more to do with our time than overanalyze and figure out the next move of the coaches in this series. Imagine if they played 7 games in 7 days. We'd be like, well, wake us up when it's over and then we'll tell you all about it. But now we got a number of games. And now we can figure out where the Thompson injury is. And let's say he's going to be out on what that means. Let's say he's going to play. What percentage is he going to play? It's still a lot to digest. But I like where the series is heading. I hope it's I All I cared about, I don't care about either team. I wanted a good series. I like the Toronto story. Golden State's going for something pretty historic. So I like this, and I just want it to be good. And I don't want it to be drawn out, because June could be a real bore. I hear the Major League Baseball draft is like today or tomorrow or sometime this week. If that's true, and I have to look it up, do you know when the baseball draft is? Is it today?
I think it might be this week.
It is this week. Isn't it amazing? I mean, listen, I'm not expecting Major League Baseball's draft to be like the NFL or NBA draft, but we counted down to the NFL draft. Like, we knew in a week, in 3 days, in 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 2 weeks, a month. We don't even know when the Major League Baseball
draft
is.
Not like that, but we had all the mock drafts.
Well, we were ready to go. I was ready. It's just because there's so much unfamiliarity with what exactly these teams are looking for.
Yep. No, it starts today, ends on the 5th.
Okay. Starts today, ends on the 5th. So yep. That's I'm saying 3 full days of amateur baseball draft.
I mean, and here's the issue, too. It's like, you know, you were just hinting towards that. We have no idea who is going to be the top player. And I mean, sometimes we have an idea who the top player will be, but we really don't know.
The college baseball playoffs are going on right now, and I don't know who's the best player like that's out there. Like, I don't know who's the Heisman Trophy winner. I guess they call it the Golden Spike, I guess. But I don't know who that is. Like, I don't even know who has the first pick and who they would be looking at. Like, whereas the NBA, it's like Zion Williamson, and the NFL's like, will it be Patrick Mahomes? But it could be a high school kid that we've never heard of. It could be a major college player that if you follow college baseball, you definitely would know. Is it a pitcher? Like, I remember last year was Casey Mize of Auburn. The only reason I knew that was because somehow I stumbled upon it in some SEC stuff that I review all the time. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a neat name, Casey Mize. That's kind of cool. And he's the first pick of the Tigers. Well done, Auburn. And Auburn made a big deal about it. But I don't know who that is. I don't know. And the thing is, baseball playoffs are going on right now. The tournament's going on right now. They just had regional play this weekend. But it's really not something that's on our radar, even if the games are good. So...
Well, one person, I'm not sure who, but they have Adley Rutschman, catcher out of Oregon State, going number one to the Orioles.
Well, all right. So the Orioles, why wouldn't the Orioles have the number one pick? Yeah. They were so abysmal. Remember, we made fun of them last year for being abysmal. So, you're right.
Chris Davis had Chris Davis of the A's.
Of the A's
had more home runs than the Orioles had wins.
Yep. So now you get to pick first in the amateur draft. I think it would be better. It would be cool if, like the players could play right away, but because they get drafted, they disappear for a while, then we don't hear from them for a while. So even if you're like, follow this as a fan, you just go, oh, well, I don't know when I'm going to see that kid. Now I have to grow him. I have to grow him in the farm.
Now there's
how he grows up.
What consensus, I guess, has this guy number one overall, but maybe he'll go number one to the Orioles. But if not, he'll definitely go number two to the Royals. And that's Bobby Witt Jr.
Oh, Bobby Witt Jr. Okay.
Who's a shortstop out of a high school in Texas.
That's awesome. By the way, let me ask you this. If you were a young high school baseball player and had a scholarship to, say, Texas, or any school, forget it, but just Texas or someplace like that. Would you take the money and go ride the bus in the minors as an 18-year-old? Would you want to go to college for a few years?
Exactly. I don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea what I'd want. Because you get the signing, but you get a bonus. You get like a signing thing, but then you get the normal low minor league pay for a while. But if you get drafted, let's say you get drafted in the first round, and it's worth like $2 million.
Well, for Kyler Murray, it was, about four, right?
Yeah, it was about four. So let's say it's even higher. Let's say you're a kid and you're in the top 10, right? And you get $4 million or $4.5 million or $7 million or whatever. And they're offering you that. Or, you know what? Go play college baseball for a little bit. Now, and here, then there'll always be an opportunity when you're done. Maybe 2 years, 3 years.
I'm going to throw out a name to you, and this will probably explain what's wrong with Major League Baseball, especially when it comes to their draft.
Okay.
J.J. Bleda. Ever heard of him?
I've never heard of him.
Well, he is a top five prospect out of Vanderbilt.
Well, that's really funny because that's really funny because if he was a top five prospect in basketball, we'd not only know who he was, but we know his background. We know where he went to school.
I was putting that name to you because I know that's in your backyard.
That is, and I should know that, but I only know a few Vanderbilt players. Yeah, like Ty Duvall.
I think that's what they hit the nail on the head. What's wrong with Major League Baseball in the draft?
Exactly.
This guy is a top five prospect in your backyard, and you don't know because no one cares about college baseball or in the draft or anything.
And the other thing is, and this is a little different, and it's unfortunate for like amateur baseball, college, but in basketball or football, you want to know the players when you root for the team. Like, for example, if you're a Vanderbilt football fan and they stink, but you're a Vanderbilt football fan, you would know who the running back is, who the quarterback is, who the linebacker is. You would know these players. Basketball, the same thing. They had a very, very disappointing season, but Vanderbilt basketball usually is okay, is pretty good. But you would know who the guard is. You would know who the center is. But in baseball, you just root for the team. You're like, oh, did they win? Great. Oh, awesome. I don't even need to know the details. I don't know who hits, who bats, who pitches. Did they win or lose? Right. That has the tendency where the players are just more anonymous in that sport, and you could still root for the team. You could still kind of follow the team in their little trek through the tournament, but you don't know anything about the team. You don't really care about anything about the team. And that's where it gets hurt. That's a good point. That's a good point. I'm glad you made that. All right. Coming up, it was actually 3 years ago. We lost one of the greats in sports. We'll reminisce about the loss of Muhammad Ali coming up next.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Don't take a chance of being stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts to get your battery tested. It's free of charge and one of the many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So on this date, 3 years ago in 2016, Muhammad Ali passed away. I always like and I always enjoy talking about Muhammad Ali because for those of you who've listened to the show a long time, I'm a very big picture guy. I like sports and its history, but more importantly, I like sports and its influence on culture. I'm a very big believer in that, right? That sports has played such an intricate role in the way we see things and the way we view things. It has brought us together. It's unlike anything else. It really is. A lot of people just sort of, you know, poo-poo this who don't follow sports and just think like, oh, it's just a bunch of millionaires playing for billionaires. But it's a lot more than that. There is an emotional attachment that I don't think you find in really anything else because a lot of it is unscripted, because the people are real. They're not playing parts or they're not acting. They're not acting out a story somebody pre-wrote. These are real people with real emotions and real drama, and we relate to them. And we also forge an identity through the teams and people we root for, right? I mean, if you're from New York, you're even more proud when New York teams win. If you're from Chicago, same thing. If you're from Boston, same things, wherever. There's a little bit of pride that goes on with living in an area and then identifying that you live in that area through the teams. You see it all the time on Facebook. At least I see it all the time because I'm more observant like that. People that I know don't follow sports. I know do not know anything about what's going on in the NHL or the NBA. But once the local team is in, you watch how they just change and morph into this uber fan, super fan, because there is an identity and there's an attachment and there's a feeling like we're part of it. So that being said, 3 years ago, Muhammad Ali passed away. And I don't think at least in my lifetime, and I don't think ever, there will be another athlete like Muhammad Ali. And I don't mean that from a boxing standpoint. I used to talk to Bert Sugar a lot. Bert was a very famed boxing writer and he was a boxing journalist. And I used to talk to him a lot before he passed away. And we used to talk about Muhammad Ali. Where does Muhammad Ali rank as in terms of greatest boxer of all time? And he didn't even have him in his top five. You know, he said, listen, Muhammad Ali is great, but these boxers technically were better, et cetera, et cetera. But what I'm talking about is more than just the athlete in its sport. Muhammad Ali was a larger than life figure for things not only in the ring, but outside the ring. And there was a time, and listen, Saturday night, the big upset that occurred, the heavyweight champion of the world was like the Pope or the President of the United States. It was one of the premier titles an individual could have in the world on the global stage, right? There was a time where Muhammad Ali's face was as recognizable around the world, pre-internet, right? Pre-global, you know, World Wide Web. His face was as recognizable as any face on the planet, right? World leaders, Pope, everybody else. Muhammad Ali, an athlete, a boxer, was as recognizable as anybody else on the planet. And that's because he was the heavyweight champion of the world. It used to mean something. It had tremendous importance in our culture, in a world culture. Now, it just doesn't. It just doesn't. And that's okay, but it just doesn't. And Muhammad Ali wore that, and he wore that with a lot of pride and hubris and, you know, excitement and energy. And, you know, he was very braggadocious, right? He was a character. He was an absolute character, but he was a very important character. He wanted to use his platform to change the world the way he wanted the world to be. You may disagree with that, but he did use that. And a lot of athletes don't want to use that. Michael Jordan didn't want to use it. Tiger Woods didn't want to use it that way. A lot of athletes don't want to use it that way. But Muhammad Ali did. He wanted to. He antagonized his opponents. He made fun of his opponents. He said some things to his opponents that were really cruel. But he was a very important figure. And there was one story I remember seeing in a documentary. I want to say it was Sports Century because I always want to give these things proper credit. I think it was when ESPN did the Sports Century documentaries. I think that's where I heard this story. It was a great story. And it was a story about a little boy, and he had cancer, and Muhammad Ali went to go visit him. And the kid was, you know, not doing well, and he told the little boy that he was going to beat George Foreman. So I'm going to beat George Foreman and you're going to beat cancer. I'm going to beat George Foreman and you're going to beat cancer. And he went out and he beat George Foreman. And he went back to see the little boy. And the little boy was really, really not doing good. He was really on his last legs and really was ready. And Muhammad Ali looked at the little boy, and the little boy had a, you know, skull cap because they had shaved his head. And he was just heartbroken, but he told the little boy, I beat George Foreman and you're going to beat cancer. And I told you, I beat George Foreman and you're going to beat cancer. And the little boy said, looked up to him, big blue eyes. He looked up and he said, no, champ, I'm going to go meet God. And when I do, I'm going to tell him I know you. We don't have athletes like that. We don't really have athletes like that anymore. Like that are that widely known, where as a young person, you would think, I want to tell God that I know this individual. Like if I met the ruler of the universe, I would tell him, I know him. I know Muhammad Ali. That's how big he was. And I miss that in sports. I miss that. I kind of had it in my time with Jordan, but it wasn't the same. People like my father's generation talked about Ali because I came at the demise. I came at Larry Holmes beating Ali to a point where even Holmes was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm really hurting this guy. I came late to the Ali party. And I kind of wish I had somebody like that. And I didn't. Somebody that was so polarizing. I mean, Brian Gumbel said it best about Muhammad Ali. He said that if you had bet people back in the 70s that people would be in tears watching him hold the Atlanta Olympic torch, that we would all be in tears, you would have won a lot of bets because he was that polarizing of an athlete. And we kind of don't have that global athlete that really is making a huge presence on the globe. Tiger Woods probably could have been that. And he just wasn't. Didn't want to go down there, but Muhammad Ali did.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is the good, the bad, and the dumb, and we had a weekend full of this, so that's why I love the Monday version of this, because it's always outstanding.
You know,
so let's, yeah, go ahead.
You know, it's hard to kind of sift through some of the storylines.
Yes. I mean, you must have a mountain of stuff from the weekend.
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the time. It's almost a traffic jam at Everest of stuff.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, that's a lot. Let's get to the good stuff. So let's go to the good.
The good of the day, I mean, we touched on it a little bit last week, but I really, really, really want to give a special tribute to Drake.
Yes. Keep going, Drake.
I mean, this, you know, him becoming the next great super fan that we didn't know we needed is happening. And I couldn't be more excited. It's bringing a different element to the NBA. I know Adam Silver is probably sitting there at the edge of his seat like, oh my God, what's he going to do next? When's he going to storm the court? Because, you know, when's he going to, can I fine him for making a, for blasting the refs? You know, I'm certain he's having all these thoughts. But Drake has just been fantastic. And the trolling job that he's been doing is on point.
He really has.
I mean, it's almost as huge as, you know, the Raptors beating the Warriors or the Warriors beating the Raptors. That's going to be a storyline throughout. And I'm just curious if he's going to be at Oracle Arena.
I think he should go to Oracle Arena. You know, Spike Lee went on the road to Indiana.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he's as much
Jack Nicholson went to the Boston Garden.
He's as much of the NBA, these NBA finals as anybody else on that court.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I know you happen to catch, I mean, his, you know, I still don't think he can ever top the Dell Curry jersey.
I thought he couldn't, but the
I'll still put Dell Curry jersey one.
That was excellent.
Because none of us saw that coming. I think that was why. You know, I think all of us had forgotten that Dell Curry actually played for the Raptors at one point.
Right.
But the Kevin Durant or Kevin McAllister, I should say, hoodie yesterday, that was on point. And I'm just curious how many people are going to have Kevin McAllister hoodies before the end of the week.
That was really good. I mean, that was great. It must be awesome to have the kind of crazy wealth to be like, I have an idea and I need it on a hoodie or a t-shirt or anything.
That looked like an iron-on, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't a little person sewing that somewhere. That was, you know, him like cutting out a photo, getting, you know, that iron-on material,
right,
printing that off, and then ironing on it himself at home.
Do-it-yourself clothing, yeah. Drake.
But it was fantastic. I was like, it was really good. This is great. The only thing I'm upset about is that you know, former president was in the house and he didn't get involved.
He should have. What is Obama doing? He's former president. This is the life he gets now for 8 years.
Games now.
Yeah, he can just do whatever he wants. Like, he can just go there, hang out, just make some comments, make some jokes.
Yeah.
Whatever. Hang with Drake. Sit by Drake if he wants.
He should. I mean, the two shared an interaction before the game. Which, by the way, did you see his entourage?
Who? The president?
The president.
I mean, you
see him walking in, and obviously you know there's going to be a couple Secret Service guys and, you know, probably a publicist. But I swear he was walking with like 10, 12 people.
That's how he rolls now.
I guess so.
Man, if there's one place, I tell you right now, if there's one place a president doesn't need security is Canada. Toronto, they love him there. Are you kidding?
True.
They loved him. They started chanting MVP to him. It's like, don't bring politics into my game too. But good. He's having fun. So you should.
Special tribute to Drake.
By the way, when you're president of the United States, and it happens to every president, you go in looking a certain age and you come out looking 100 years older than the age. Like, it's just, so when you get out, just enjoy all of the perks that come mm-hmm. with the 8 years or 4 years, whatever it is that you spent in that White House. Because it's worth it. Enjoy yourself. Go to game three. Go all the way out to Oakland and go to game three.
You should.
Hang out. Enjoy the rest of the series. Yeah, but back to Drake. Drake should go.
Yeah, he has to.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he's not there, I would almost consider it, you know, turning the TV off.
Yeah, exactly.
Type of issue. It's like, yeah. No, I'm protesting. If Drake's not there, game three did not happen.
Be great. All right, so now the bad.
The bad of the day. Well, there was this a Catholic school principal who was arrested during a school field trip because he apparently ditched the kids to go get drunk at a strip club.
Okay, explain this one. Is there a sidebar to this that I'm missing?
No. Well, the reason why he got arrested was because he refused to pay his bill at the strip club, and so, you know, they had to call in police. And then once they figured out who he was and what he's doing there, he found out that, yeah, I don't know if he was technically chaperoning the kids. I'm sure there were teachers and parent volunteers who were a part of it. But, yeah, he was supposed to be with them.
And what was he again, a Catholic school principal?
Catholic school principal, yeah, who went into the strip club with a service dog. So that was another way how they knew who he was. Mm.
Well done. That's concealing your identity very well.
The headline alone is just fantastic.
Ugh.
You know, the fact that you have a Catholic school principal who is on a class field trip or a school field trip and gets arrested drunk at a strip club.
You can't write that. I've gone on plenty of class field trips, and as I got older, I started realizing, man, the teachers don't really want to do this. But I don't think they would go off to strip clubs.
No. Here's the thing. I think teachers like doing the field trip part as long as they can take them to a place where there's supervisors there who take control.
Yeah, see, that was my point. Let's go to the museum, and I'm going to tell you all about it. But I don't think they like, everybody line up, for the love of God, be quiet. Oh, my God. This is the longest bus ride of my life. Please just shut up.
Exactly.
Like, I don't think they like that.
Yeah, but I've never known a teacher, and I, you know, was in that profession for a while. I've never had the urge to say, you know what? You know what's going on right across the street from this museum of science? Is, you know, the Museum of Anatomy.
Yeah, I got to go over there.
I got to go over there and get my drink on.
So, kids, here's what we're going to do. I need you to go to this museum, and I need you to write a 30-page essay on anything that you see in there. And go, all right? And I'll be back to see how you guys are doing. And then you run across to some sort of...
With your service dog. I mean, is that even
allowed?
Yeah, take
your service dog.
I didn't think dogs were allowed in a strip club.
God, that's terrible.
Shows you what I know.
Well, that's a bad. Now for the dumb.
You know,
how do you top that?
Well, we keep bringing this up over and over and over again, and you know, I think I'm championing the cause. I'm standing on my platform to ask these guys to just stop. So Facebook files a patent. Can you see where I'm going with this?
Oh boy.
To build robots that roll around scanning faces to help users make friends. Now,
okay, I've had enough of this.
I hear the intention in this, and I'm all for it. That's a very nice thing to do.
No,
we would want Rosie the robot.
It's over my head. Why? What do you mean they're building robots to make friends?
They're building robots to scan faces to help some of the Facebook users to make friends.
How are they doing that?
I don't know.
You just said that sounded okay.
I said I can understand the premise behind it because we all want Rosie the robot.
Right, exactly.
We all want someone that, you know, to handle the cooking, the cleaning, you know, the paternal aspect that Rosie the robot provided the Jetsons. The problem is we won't get that. Instead, we're going to have a next generation of Skynet and Miles Dyson.
Now, of course. Totally.
And now you're wanting to build something that can scan and recognize faces. Yeah.
It's all going to be our fault.
We just need to give up now.
Somebody would be like, I wish I didn't invent that. And then we'd be like, no, don't worry about it. It was just bound to happen.
Yeah. I mean, you know we what? have I mean, we've talked about this already. I mean, they've already, you know, Mark Zuckerberg already went down a path where the, you know, developed two robots that learned a language.
I loved it. That story was my favorite scariest moment of this whole AI thing was when they made the two robots and then the robots went, let's make a language that these people don't get so we can talk in the robot. And everyone was like, pull the plug. What's the matter with you?
And then we had, just recently, not too long ago, we talked about a robot that was able to impersonate Joe Rogan.
Yeah, that was even worse. That was even worse.
Perfectly. So now we're, why don't we just have, combine that two where these robots can invent their own language, impersonate people without anybody else really knowing, getting their voice accurate, and we'll make them, be able to recognize other people.
Yeah, I just want to make this statement publicly. Mom and dad out there, if you are, now that they're retired, if somehow you are in an awful situation where you need my credit card, I'm not going to give it to you over the phone because I don't know if it's you or handy dandy robot voice guy pretending to be you. So we'll have to find another means in order to get you out of trouble if that should ever happen to you. I'm just letting you know now.
And, taking a different approach to it. Why do we need technology to help us make friends?
No, that's a great point. How about do it the old-fashioned way by being liked?
How about put the phone down and look up?
Yeah, talk to people. Tell people your hopes and dreams. I don't know.
Whatever it is. Sit at a bar. Drink with a fellow person who, decided to put the phone down.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Whatever it is people do these days to make new friends.
Because, I swear, we are getting closer and closer to being those people in mobile chairs and Up.
And Up? Wally.
And Wally. Yeah, I'm sorry,
yeah,
Wally.
Wally, yeah, exactly. That's funny that you mentioned that, because I think I was bringing that up like a week ago to somebody. I'm like, we're really close to those fat people in Wally. And it was like, yeah, because there's...
Social interaction, just none. What's on the screen in front of us, and just keep filling my cup full of whatever.
Exactly. Oh, it's awful. I do it too. I always like to lecture, but I do it too. Like the first thing I do when I wake up is grab my phone.
I think we all do it. I think we're all addicted to it. I used to. There used to be a book called The Bathroom Reader. I was addicted to it because it had all these like fun trivia and stories, true stories, and you could also read about like funny quotes and things like that. It was fantastic. It was just a hodgepodge of everything. I mean, it was just fun, and that's what I did in the bathroom. Now we don't read books anymore. We just have our phone.
No, that's very true.
It's probably a little too much information to share on a Monday morning, but
well, that's fine. That's fine. Well, never mind. Nevertheless, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb, and it is Monday as we roll along on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Which do you think got better numbers last night, NBA Finals or the Yankees-Red Sox Sunday Night Baseball? God, I hope it was the NBA Finals.
I would say NBA Finals.
Being on ABC helps, obviously. But,
yeah.
I hope it was the NBA Finals. But I know the ratings aren't as good as they want, but it's still, this has been, I've enjoyed the playoffs now because I'm an NBA guy. I've always said, I don't care what people say, oh, the ratings are down. What does that have to do with us? Like, what does it have to do with people who just want to watch it? Like, who cares if less people are watching the thing I like? Like, so what? Like, is it a statement? Like, what is it? The NBA is going to disappear tomorrow because the ratings are down 20%? I mean, you got to be kidding. Like, everybody wants the NFL. No matter what the NFL ratings are, everybody seems to want it and will pay big monies for it. And in some parts, the NBA is still profitable. I know LeBron being out in the finals probably does kick it a little bit. But, the fact that Toronto is in it, not some other team, is going to affect American ratings. I get it. But still. Don't worry about that in terms of your overall enjoyment. If you like it, you like it. It's your thing. God, I just hope it lasts. It's 18 days from the start of the game one till the game seven. That is a 2.5 weeks. Close to two. Yeah, that is. That's 2.5 weeks. Boy, Adam Silver really knows how to stretch out a series, doesn't he?
Well, you know, if you give us 2.5 weeks, maybe, just maybe, Kevin Durant will be back by game seven.
That's very true. That would be great, wouldn't it? Maybe they wait till game seven and then bring him back.
Trying to keep the drama as much as possible. The suspense.
Steve Kerr goes, Kevin Durant will be available for game seven. Oh, why, you know, why bother now? If you had him earlier, it might have not been a game seven. But yeah, it's so, I think the series is, I don't want to be like, oh, it's going to be great. I hope it's great. I hope the Warriors don't win this in five now. Like, that's my biggest worry. My worry is that win last night's like, okay, we're done. Had fun. Now we're done.
No, that's almost kind of like the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
Or the Stanley Cup finals.
Yeah, you know, right.
St. Louis grabs that one. It's like, whoa, wait a second. Didn't think you guys knew how to play hockey. And then Boston wins one in overtime, and then they just absolutely annihilate them in game three.
Yeah.
You know, kind of has that same feel to it.
Real quick, Juju Smith-Schuster was at a prom in Pittsburgh. Did you hear this story?
Nope.
So he goes to this prom in Pittsburgh, and the students start chanting F-A-B. Yeah, that's really great for a high school prom. Kids cursing out Antonio Brown.
Oh, I thought that meant free.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No, they actually use the word.
I'm sure
the teachers were like, oh, God, this is getting out of control. But, you know, if Juju Smith-Schuster is coming to your Pittsburgh prom, you know there's going to be some wacky shenanigans by the prom goers. Well, if that's the worst they did, good, you know, wouldn't be that much of a prom. SB Nation Radio.